So Kublai, welcome to Mossendry. Welcome to Mossendry. I was perpetually greeted with smiles by the children in Mossendry. They were infectious. They were infectious, always wondering, who is that harmonica playing guy from so far away? But they made me smile and they warmed my heart. Our partner church, as said before, is the Mossendry Unitarian Church. It's located in the village of Mossendry near the town of Kurong in the Indian state of Meghalaya. Now, you're probably wondering, and this is a picture taken by, Mike took this picture, from Sanimon's house. Sanimon is the young woman who they sponsor to go to, she's in college now in Shillong, India. But this was taken from her house in the village, looking at the church and the bell tower that I went there to dedicate last month. We basically paid for that bell tower, and it's beautiful. So you're asking, where is Mossendry near the town of Kurong in the Khasi Hills in the state of Meghalaya? Well, it's way over there on the far right. It's a part of India I didn't even really know existed. Prior to going there, I didn't know that India extended that far over to the east, but it does. It's where Mossendry is. It's just north of Bangladesh and just south of Bhutan, in this little peninsula of India. It's called, Meghalaya is called the abode of the clouds. It's a place where they claim to have the most rain of any place in the world. It's the wettest place on earth. 467 inches of rain a year. 467. A lot of it is during the monsoon. It didn't rain when we were there. Maybe at night it rained like once or twice, but it really didn't rain once when we were there. It's not the rainy season. But when the rainy season comes, it's 467 inches of rainy season. It's also a place, because of the rainy season, of beautiful waterfalls. It's very lush and green and beautiful waterfalls. We didn't get to see them because there was no water at our time. And beautiful living root bridges. I don't know if you've heard about these or read about them. They're pretty famous. They're root bridges that are crafted over years and years continuously. This is a living, well, they're living roots from trees. So our partnership with the Mossendry Congregation is facilitated by the Unitarian Universalist Partner Church Council, the UUPCC. It's a nonprofit, independent affiliate of the UUA. The mission of the UUPCC is to foster support and partner relationships between UU congregations and individuals in the United States and Canada with Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist congregations, orphanages, schools, and students in all other countries where partnering is sought and welcomed. These will be mutually beneficial, reasonably sustained through mutual shared covenants with one another. And as you can see, there's partnerships all over the world. Interestingly, I was wondering, South America is kind of missing on it. I don't know if there's any in South America, although I do know Unitarian Universalist ministers working in South America. So there's really three key institutions in the village of Mossendry around which really their life kind of revolves. There's three institutions through which that we work. First is the church itself. And this is a picture of the inside of the church. The second institution is called the Children's Village, which is an orphanage. It opened in 2009, and the village has housed 21 boys and girls up until the present moment. Because just when we were there, this picture was taken by Mike last month. They're just completing, there's some workers up here on the roof. They're just completing the boys' wing of the Children's Village. So now they'll be able to actually house more orphans, people or children who need help. And this wing is just probably a few hundred yards from the girls' dormitory that we saw in the previous slide. So here's the 2015 picture of 21 kids and staff in the back row who are served by the Children's Village. Some of them have lived there since 2009. The third institution key to the Mossendry community is the Annie Margaret Barr School. It's a school that's a little bit of a distance from Mossendry. It's closer to Kerrang. But it's a school that many of the kids' children go to. It costs money to go there, though. So the church and the Children's Village and the school are really in partner with three different Unitarian Universalist congregations. And they are us, obviously. The First Unitarian Church of Dallas, they are just brand new to the partnership. And the First Unitarian Church of Pittsburgh, okay? Which is where I did my internship. So it was kind of interesting because the Libra Gazelles and Paula and Rick, they know all my friends from the Pittsburgh church because they've been there together, actually, in Mossendry. And so now I'm there, and Bari and Nangroy, they know, they've preached in Pittsburgh, and they've preached here. It's just really fascinating. We have all this, kind of spooky, actually, all this stuff going on. So here's a picture of the bell tower that I just stuck my hand on my phone and just up the bell tower, looking at a beautiful blue sky. It's a gorgeous bell tower that they just completed not long before we got there. So what we did that day, on the 18th of February, when we were there, we had a ribbon-cutting ceremony to dedicate the bell tower. So it started with a song sung by some Mossendry girls, and then a somewhat sassy dance by three Mossendry young girls. It was really well done, really good, cute. And after a ribbon cutting, we went into the church and did kind of a more formal service. One of the things I said was, in this beautiful bell tower, the ringing of this bell, may it come to ring in all our hearts that your joys are our joys, that your sorrows are our sorrows, and that the spirit of life is ours to share together. Here's a couple other pictures. A cute girl that I couldn't resist because she kept, during the service, kept coming up into and sitting on my lap, like during the service. And then she'd get down and she'd sit in somebody else's lap, but right in the service. It was beautiful. And there's some other beautiful children. And then afterward, we had this great meal that this came out of nowhere, this beautiful meal that was wrapped up in, what was it? Wrapped up in banana leaves. Each meal was wrapped up in banana leaves. It was just gorgeous. So after the dedication, I was really tired. It was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I kind of thought we were done for the day. But on this special day, no, there was a mid-afternoon service that I had to go to as well. So we had a mid-afternoon service, and so after that, I was really tired. But on this special day, there was more. There was a night service. Dogs are welcome. There's a dog right in front of the pulpit. He was just parked there the whole time. It's gorgeous. It was gorgeous. And the power went out like 3 or 4 times during the night service and didn't miss a beat, just kept going on. And it was actually kind of intimate to have it just by candlelight. It's very intimate. Now, this picture here, that is our host. It's not really a great picture of her, but Michelle showed a picture of her earlier. Barry Muckham and her husband, Nangroy, were our hosts for the week. Barry has a house in the village, but also has a house in Shillong, 2.5 hours away, because she actually works for the Department of Agriculture for the state of Meghalaya. She has a college degree. Her husband, Nangroy, actually teaches at the school in the village. He's a Unitarian minister as well. So they're doing a lot of stuff. They're doing a lot of stuff. Now, Shillong is a city of about 140,000 people. It's about only 30 miles from Massanjeri, but it takes about 2.5 hours to get there because the roads are just not that great. They're not very good. Here's another picture of their family, their two children. This is 3 years ago. Their kids are a little bit bigger now. Bashai and Melody, and they are oh so cute and so happy. And I loved being with them. Anyway, as Michelle said, Bari is the youngest daughter in her family. She has inherited everything in the family. But with that inheritance comes responsibility. She has to care. She's the one who has to care for the parents, aging parents. And her house has to be open to anyone in the family should they need to come and stay. Any night, any time of the day or night, the house is open for the family. Also meals, as Michelle said. Her brother lived up the street. Brother came down almost every morning for breakfast and could come for dinner as well. So although she inherited the family, she inherits a lot of responsibility as well. In the village, most of the adults are cultivators, farmers. Often, the older children have to leave school to help care for their younger siblings because their mother and father both have to work in the fields. That's a common occurrence. That's been going on for generations, and they and many are happy with that. That's just the way their life is, and they're happy with that. But many actually dream of doing some other things. Here's a picture I showed earlier of the children in the children's village. And one of these girls who lived there, has lived there since its start in 2009, this girl here on the left, her name is Eldaris. And she loves science. She wants to be a doctor. She is in 11th grade, I think. She's in 11th grade now. But although this is in the picture was taken at the children's village in Massanjeri, she actually now lives in Shillong, 2.5 hours away, to go to school. Because the school, though it goes up to 12th grade, the higher grades, they can't afford a science teacher. So they don't teach science in the higher grades. They've been making progress. Just about 2 years ago, it only went up to 10th grade. But the First Unitarian Church of Pittsburgh is the church that sponsored them to get a teacher to teach 11th and 12th grades. But now they need a science teacher. So what I'm trying to get at here is if you want to do science and she wants to be a doctor, she can't stay in the village. She has to go to Shillong, 2.5 hours away. So how's that done? Actually, she is followed in her sister's footsteps. Her sister, older sister, is this one back here. Her name is Basuk. She also lives in Shillong. And this can't see here. This is Sanimon, the girl that the Brazels are sponsoring. She's going to be 21 this week, actually. She goes to college and is studying biology, and she lives in Shillong as well. Though her family still has a house in the village. So how this works is Bari and Nangroy are two contacts. They've essentially pretty much adopted these young people. They stay with her. And the Libre Gazelle sponsors Sanimon to go to school. And Pat Lampert actually sponsors Basuk back here to go to school. And another UU, not from human, sponsors Eldaris to go to school in Shillong. That covers their tuition, and a little bit of money goes a long way over there. It's not like tuition here. But what about room and board? So, like I said, Bari and Nangroy have essentially adopted these young girls, and they live with them or in a house nearby them in Shillong. And in exchange, they do some work for Bari. They cook. They cooked all our meals there. We had 3 meals a day, and these girls cooked almost every one of them. They did a lot of work, and they were handing us tea. Every time we turned around, they were giving us tea. Good tea with ginger, fresh ginger in there. It was really good. So this is the kitchen, Barry's kitchen in Shillong, small kitchen, and they'd be routinely be just sitting around together doing stuff, preparing food for us. Several months ago, Michelle was talking about looking at this chart of our program council, and she noticed that the partner church is up here in the justice ministry, and she was wondering why it's up there, and I was wondering why she's asking me. And she's like saying, look, this is a partnership. It's not a charity thing. It's a partnership that we have. And she's right. And she's right. This is a partnership. It's not a charity one-way street. Again, the mission of the Unitarian Universalist Partner Church Council is to foster and support partner relationships in other countries where partnering is sought and welcomed. These will be mutually beneficial, responsibly sustained, and linked by joint and mutual covenants. So what have we done for them? We've sponsored children, orphans, helped them pay for some of their education. And as I said, a little money goes a long way there. We paid for a bell tower that they built. And maybe a bell tower isn't something that we think of as that important. But to them, it's very important. It's something they ring to call their community together because it can be heard throughout their whole village. Some of us have even taught classes. I think Rick was, when he was there visiting, he was asked to teach a class. And the teacher just left the class and he was on his own in the school. Interesting, the school is taught in English, so you could go there and teach. You don't have to know their language, because all the classes are done in English, because they're trying to learn English. So our partnership is really just getting started. We just started a few years ago, like 3 or 4 years ago. So if this is a partnership and we're doing things for them, you might naturally ask, well, what do we get out of the deal? What are they doing for us? That's a fair question. On one level, when I was there, they were giving us unparalleled hospitality. Food, 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 more food. Anything we wanted, they would give to us. Not that they had all the conveniences that we have here, because they don't. But they would give anything they had for us when we were there. But on a deeper level, really, what can they do for us? We're definitely in a position where we can help them. But again and again, whenever I've engaged in justice efforts to help someone else, and I know I've said this before, I've always been the one who got more out of the deal. I always have been. I've always been the one who got more, who benefited by being merely in their presence, to be honest with you. That's Bashai and Melody. And that's Eldaris in the village cooking us a meal. We sat on these stools to eat. Those were the uncomfortable stools. I was actually pretty comfortable. They were not. And this is them eating, a bunch of children eating meal around just a small table. They had no big dining room table. It was just a small table we all ate at. And this is Sanimon. This is Sanimon, the young woman who the Libra Gazelle sponsor. Barry and Nangroy have shown me, actually, and Michelle alluded to this a little bit in her talk, a new way to think about family. It was the norm to have their house open to anyone, and everyone. When I would wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, I'd almost be tripping over people sleeping on the floor. There were people sleeping in the living room floor, and sometimes, you know, I'd go through a room that I didn't know was a bedroom, but people were sleeping there. Small children who just happened to be, you know, in the village, and even in Shillong, in their house in Shillong. It was kind of unparalleled. I've never seen that kind of hospitality in an environment before. I found the people of Mossengery also to be dedicated more to community than to individuality. The community is very important to them. On our final morning there, our final morning, I ran in Massandry, I ran from the house up to the church, which is about a quarter mile away, because I wanted to take a few pictures. And on the way there, coming the other way, was Sanimon's father. He was walking down the road. So I just say, Kublai, and I kept going. And he kept walking. About 15 minutes later, I come back to the house. And Sanimon's father, Sanimon is the woman that the Libre Gazelle sponsor. So Sanimon's father is at the house, just about ready to sit down to have breakfast with the Libre Gazelles. He knew that we were leaving that day. He knew that they were leaving that day. And he took time off from his work in the fields to come specifically to the house to say goodbye to the Libre Gazelles. He took time out to do that. And as they were sitting down for breakfast, really there was nothing for him to say because he didn't speak any English. He didn't speak any English. But he really didn't have to say anything. His mere presence there that day, I thought, just said it all, really. I was so touched by him coming personally to say goodbye. I thought that was such a great, grand, humble gesture on his part. It was beautiful. Since our partnership began about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, our partnership has shown up for one another. Each and every year since our partnership began, either some of our members have gone there or they have come here. And in 2019, we want to keep that going. February 28th, 2019 will be the 10th year anniversary of the Children's Village, the orphanage. And a big celebration is being planned. One of the co-founders of the Children's Village, her name is Reverend Katie Scudera. She's a minister in Needham, Massachusetts, who was with us in Massandry when we were there. She was the founder of the village, and she's going to be on sabbatical next February to come back to celebrate that anniversary and to do a project. And I think it would be a great time for us or some folks here to join her in a project in Massandry. It's not the rainy season, so it's a good time to go. So that's coming up in February. Katie Scudera, interestingly, went to the First Unitarian Church of Pittsburgh as a young adult. She went to college in Pittsburgh, so she knows everybody in Pittsburgh. She's been here before. She says, are you, because she works in the Partner Church Council board, she says, are you the minister of that beautiful congregation in Atlanta, the one with all the windows? And I'm like, yes. And so she's been here too. So there's all these really spooky relationships. It's kind of weird. But anyway, she's going to be in Massandry next year. It'll be a great opportunity for folks to join with her. I found that the people in Massandry have a solid vision for what they want to do with their community. And I'm not going next year. I'm not going. But please mark your calendars. For whoever does go, it will be the experience of a lifetime. So Kublai, and thank you very much.